the weather for the rest of the day is not very promising, it has to be said, but do not let that stop you getting out and about for a bit of a walk, particularly if it's in the company of someone who knows a little bit more than you do about the place where you're walking. Cormac McGinley runs bespoke tours of the Clare coastline. He brought Lorna Siggins to a spot near Doolin in County Clare, where the limestone pavement of the Burren meets the sea. And even on a day where the sky was grey, the sea was grey, the stones underfoot were grey, and strong winds were buffeting in from the Atlantic, Cormac and Lorna found plenty of natural treasures.
It's low tide, and as we make our way to the water, Cormac picks up a small white shell about the size of my little fingertip, a cowrie shell.
So that there's a cowrie shell. So that's an Arctic cowrie. We've got two species of cowrie. We've got spotted and Arctic cowries. They're little predatory snails.
And how can you tell the difference?
The spotted one has spots. The Arctic one doesn't. So this would be an Arctic cowrie.
Oh, it's got little lines.
The lines are like little, basically like baby fingerprints almost.
Right.
Up in Scotland, they call them grotty buckies. And they say they're good luck if you keep one in your purse or wallet. It never goes empty.
Grotty buckies.
Grotty buckies. They used to sell them up there. They used to gather them, sell them to Victorians. As
really?
Yeah. This is a bit of a sea urchin shell.
Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it?
So these kind of things.
It's a work of art.
The place is full of these.
There is debris on this shoreline, including slender bleached tree trunks.
Big trunks of wood.
Yeah, well, a lot of this timber will have come from most likely the Americas. While this was floating, you'd have had fish living around it and all sorts. Like I've had some of these come in, and you've got Columbus crabs. So they're crabs that they're not from Ireland. They'll survive the whole way across the Atlantic.
Really?
They're called Columbus crabs.
The stones on this shoreline are grey limestone, misshapen with holes and wrinkles. And Cormac explains why.
Better, so you can see almost all the pieces we're walking on here have this kind of texture.
Right.
So this texture here, this is made by a type of sponge that bores into the rock.
Okay.
And then these bigger ones, bigger holes, these are made by a shellfish. You can see the shell still stuck in here. This is a wrinkled rock borer. Well, this is biokarst. So this is all kind of limestone that's been shaped by living organisms.
Okay.
So some of these you'll find they have holes right through.
Okay.
And people have got, it has a religious significance, but definitely spiritual significance. Some people attach to them. So they call them hagstones.
Oh, that's a tiny little piece of limestone with an eye through it.
Yeah, it's been drilled through by one of those wrinkled rock borers. So some people say they're good luck. You can hold on to it just in case.
Right, okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, I will. Yeah, put it in my pocket.
And on we walk to the low tide mark by seaweeds, ascophyllum, kelp and the dark spaghetti-like pepper dulse.
We're used to having seasons on land. Your spring, summer, autumn and winter. And you're used to your growth cycle sort of starting in spring, peaking in summer and sort of going off. Well, we have seaweeds here that have started growing in late December, are at their peak now and will die off in the next few months as spring comes. So they run in the opposite cycle. It's pepper dulse.
Very tasty.
Well, try it and let me know what you think.
That's lovely. Do you use it? Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah. See the second delicious you said there? That was the honest, because everybody eats seaweed and goes, oh yeah, nice. Then they go, oh, this one actually tasted something.
Oh, it does, yeah.
Because most seaweeds taste just a bit salty, you know?
Yeah, no, it's
whereas this one has a garlicky.
It is. There's
a proper flavour to it. Don't eat too much of it or it repeats on you all day. You'll be burping garlic all day.
Okay.
But you can grind some of it up in salt or use it in a salad and that. You want a good low tide. It's always down in that end, but it'll turn a kind of a yellowy colour in the summer. So we have really good sea life here, really clean and high quality, but we don't have a huge culture of using it ourselves in our own lives. And we really only seem to pay attention to it when some other country is willing to offer us money for it. Then we get commercially minded and we'll strip it up then. You get the feeling that we're stepping over a lot of things that we could be using to up our own quality of life, you know.
So what are we stepping over here now?
So we're on periwinkles, limpets. If you look at our old middens, so our old dumps in Ireland, you dig them up. Some of them will date hundreds of years back, some of them thousands. And they're full of limpet shells. So we used to have a big taste for limpets and then we've lost it and we don't seem to look at them the same way at all. A lot of the areas out west, especially back in from the shoreline a little, you didn't have big populations there until the potato arrived. So prior to the potato arriving, a lot of people would have had to kind of foraged and lived on, you know, growing bits of crops, but also eating other stuff from the land. When the potato came in, you could now go up onto an area that couldn't support people before, dig a half an acre and raise a family. And food, the potato was such an easy one to come by that it was almost a waste of your time to spend your day foraging for other stuff then. You didn't need to. And because you're talking about a time when people weren't literate, within a generation or two, very quickly you started to lose that thing of foraging, and the potato sort of took over. And so then when it crashed, you had horrific stories of people eating grass and people who'd obviously didn't know what to eat anymore. And so you had some break or something that happened there. People from other countries come here, what they're really amazed at is they're amazed at what we don't use rather than what we do.
Yeah.
You know, that's what stuns them.
Yeah. Like the Japanese, this would be a paradise for them, wouldn't it?
The local lady here, she does foraging, Una, and she tells a story about, I think, some Japanese people breaking into tears when they see this pepper dulse, because it's such a valuable thing over there. They use it in the cooking. The idea that it's grown in tufts all along the shore here and nobody looks at it, they just couldn't believe it. Yeah, it's great in a way because it gives us so much scope to grow. Like, if you live down here on the coast and you spend the time to look and learn about it, well, dietary wise you can live at a much higher standard than your income would suggest. You know, you could be living on wild picked oysters, these seaweeds. During the pandemic I was in more danger of getting gout than I was COVID with the amount of lobster I was eating.
Cormac McGinley talking to our Lorna Siggins. More on that on cormacscoast.com. Cormacscoast.com.